selling to the federal government is a unique occupation. In no other industry do marketing and salespeople face the daunting set of laws and regulations they face here. Yet personal relationships still matter in government contracting, just like they do in the commercial world. Contracting veteran Tim Sullivan has authored the blog 10 Myths of Government Contracting, and we've been exploring these myths with him. Today, Sullivan tackles myth number 6. We contractors don't have to market to agencies like we do in the commercial sector.
Even though the areas of commercial contracting and federal contracting have many differences and many significant distinctions, marketing might be a different approach somewhat, but the old ability to develop relationships, and I mean proper relationships when I say that, is still the number one thing to do out there.
Well, as someone who has spent almost a quarter of a century in media supported by advertising to the government, I'm glad not everyone believes you don't have to market to the government, or there wouldn't be any of us.
Yeah.
But what are the differences between the ways that you market to government versus commercial?
Well, you have restrictions, obviously, because as I point out in myth number 6, which is what we're talking about right now, since 9-1-1, the ability to just walk into a government building is gone. You know that as a reporter. And so what happens is you've got to get through there somehow to meet these people that you want to be your customers. And the government is a multi-headed person. We all know that. You've got program people. You have contracting people. You have senior officials. And you never know who's the most important person is going to be in that chain of people you've got to deal with. So you've got to do something to get inside that agency and learn to meet people.
Because a lot of people can say no in government. It's very hard to get the whole crowd or chain to say yes in concert.
Right. As you know, getting someone to say no over a phone or online is, people say no very easily that way, in email or by phone. Doing it in person is usually a tougher thing. I'm not going to tell you it won't happen, because government people can take tough positions just like any other businessman or businesswoman can. But it's much easier to say no online or on a phone.
So if you are able to get an audience with someone in government, first of all, who should the first person be that you would try to get an audience with?
It always depends on where you are in the process. If a solicitation's been issued, it basically has to go through the contracting officer. He or she is the nerve center for all communications between potential offerors and the government. On the other hand, if a solicitation is not out there and what you're trying to do is introduce yourself to the agency, there are different ways to do it. If you're a small business, you might want to go through the small business office and see if they can help you. All these major commands have a small business office. If you're not a small business, you simply you can go to trade shows where the agencies show up. The Army has an annual show, for example, in Washington, and that is heavily attended. Get to meet people.
That's a fun one. Lots of big olive drab equipment.
The colors are wonderful, but the contacts are what you're there for. And you're trying to put a name and a face together and make yourself human. Humanize your organization so that they remember you. And this is what you've got to do. You want to get in front of the right people. Ultimately, Tom, you want to get to the program people to convince them that you've got the product or service that they really need. That's what you want to do.
And what about those in-house exhibits? Sometimes people will put on a mini trade show inside an agency where people can walk by and see stuff at, you know, in a small-scale environment. Those were popular a number of years ago. Do they still take place, and are they still a good venue?
They still take place. And in my view of these things is, if our competitors do it and we're not, then they have an edge on us. So you have to do this stuff. And it's a great question in the sense that every agency has its own culture. And, for example, you might think, well, Navy procurement might be different from Army procurement, but that would be the end of it. But that's simply not true. NAVAIR, if you tell the NAVAIR people that they ought to do something one way because, or suggest to them they should do it one way because NAVC is doing it that way, just be ready for a bristled response, because they have their own culture and their own way of doing things. If you do business with the Army at Redstone Arsenal and you expect that the business you'd be doing with the Army up at the Tank Command in Warren, Michigan will be done exactly the same way, you'd be dead wrong. They have different cultures. They're all operating under the same statutes and regulations, but they have different cultures.
We're speaking with Tim Sullivan. He's a partner at Thompson & Coburn and author of 10 Myths of Government Contracting, published by the Public Contracting Institute. And the other issue that comes up in marketing to federal government, for a lot of big companies, especially the big ones, is, you know, they may have a suite at FedEx Field, or they may have a Verizon Center suite, and you can't take federal people and give them lavish tickets, expensive suite tickets and dinners and so forth. And so is there any tasteful way of entertaining a federal client that that lives within the regulations?
Well, yeah, there are ways to do it, but the key is living within the regulations. And so before you want to do anything that you might do in the commercial sector, you want to check with your in-house counsel to make sure that he or she is on board with this, or check with out-house counsel, because the regulations are tricky. Generally, as a rule of thumb, if it's under $20, it's not a problem, but if the value of whatever is being offered. But you really don't want to put – here's the problem. Whether it's ultimately found out or not, you don't want to put these potential customers in a bad position where if someone sees them and they shouldn't be there, now there's a huge problem and ultimately a scandal. We all remember the GSA scandal from 4 or 5 years ago. You don't want to put them in that kind of a position, and you do your best to make sure that when you are meeting, it's on conditions and under circumstances that even the Washington Post could write about it and there's no problem.
And getting to the topic of Mythbusters, which was something launched by the Office of Federal Procurement Policy a few years back when Dan Gordon was running, and it's still in place, presumably, and that is the idea of pre-solicitation discussions with agencies, because really the cycle of when you get in with an agency relative to the budget is crucial to be able to have actual sales somewhere down the line. And why don't more people understand that, and why is there not more pre-solicitation discussion about blue sky technology issues?
Well, you're right. I mean, the FAR 15201, and the Federal Acquisition Regulation, FAR 15.201, is entitled Exchanges with Industry Before Receipt of Proposals. If you look at that list, that covers a variety of ways for vendors and agencies to get together, right down to one-on-one meetings. This was a response to the scandals of the 80s when we did have the hunting lodges and the Redskin tickets when they actually had value, and all those kinds of things. Those things, it was a real problem. The government had to scratch its head and say, well, how are we going to meet with these people? And they came up with these variety of ways in that regulation, and that is exactly the way to do it. Agencies are figuring this out. Vendors are pushing them. In fact, Tom, we're seeing a lot more, for example, requests for information than we used to. This is a smart early move for an agency trying to figure out what it's going to buy and how best to buy it.
And a final marketing question for you. What if you're a company and you hire someone from the federal government, the former deputy CIO here or the CIO there or the former chief technology officer or the other place, and but there's pretty sharp restrictions on what they can do relative to federal customers?
Absolutely. I think I said in my myth that what makes them so attractive to you is also what makes them so radioactive. And everybody's going to have a cooling off period. The normal cooling off period, as I point out in this myth, is about 2 years. But it could be different depending on what you've done. And there might be a lifetime ban against a particular person in being involved in anything he or she did when they were a senior official at a particular agency. So whenever you're looking at a potential candidate here, the very first question your personnel people, your HR people are going to ask on that form is, are you a procurement official? And that's the definition of a procurement official is very broad. And if the answer is yes, the alarms go off and you check it out and make sure that whatever discussions you're having with this person, whatever communications you're having with them, they are above board and don't put you or her in a bad position.